you know, she says, I feel he loves me, but I'm like, what's love? Tell me, what are the details?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lainey Louie, talk show host and entertainment reporter. I'm also the editor of LaineyGossip.com, and I am a BTS
fan. You are.
I'm Sasha Chong. I am a producer at an entertainment show here in Canada. I'm also a fashion and beauty columnist on LaineyGossip.com. And I am not a big BTS fan. But this is What's Your Drama, where we gossip about you. Don't tell me that you're going to complain about. Don't tell me you're going to complain about Bennifer. Everybody's happy about this.
I'm very happy with this, and I don't want to be like, oh, like Ben and Jen are together. Obviously, they're together. It's been news for weeks, but from our vantage point as a podcast that talks about drama, how do you feel about? And I love Jennifer Lopez. Please do not get me wrong, but she was engaged to what's his face. What's his name? I hate him. That's
who cares?
Why I like
nobody
I,
cares what, anymore.
Yeah, right. Who cares?
Yeah,
that person. Like they had plans to get married, and then within just a couple of weeks, she pivoted and is now with her ex boyfriend, and they are like knee deep in their relationship, like in love. And so, yes, as like taking this from like the what's your drama? Like what's Jennifer Lopez's drama? When it comes to relationships, I know she loves love.
First of all, you skipped a step, which is that A-Rod was sliding into people's DMs.
Still, don't you want to feel the pain of like your man cheating on you? Like, don't you need to find yourself, find why you keep on getting into shitty relationships?
That's the beauty of J-Lo. Like, she's not going to stick around and feel the pain. Or if she did feel the pain, her pain threshold or pain like time is so much less than ours. And she's like, I'm going to bounce. Oh, hi, Ben. Let's pick it up.
I think the reason why she's been engaged like 17 times and has had like a slew of many men in her life, like very quickly, is because she doesn't digest the feelings of the previous relationship.
I don't know. I feel like she's actually really, I don't think that you can, again, talk about processing feelings in a box, right? Like, you know, that is a template that's like, you know, it's a schedule. And what if someone's schedule to get over some shit is 2 years? And what if someone else's is 2 weeks?
Every time it's 2 weeks? Come on. Listen, I'm not pigeonholing her into like she doesn't process her emotions, but she really does get on with it real quick. And that's why I think like when she got together with A-Rod, I was like, A-Rod's a piece of like poo stuck onto the bottom of my shoe. He sucks. Like, anyone with half a brain would have been like, don't fucking get with him. Get back with Casper. At least get back with Casper before you get back. But don't you love, I do love that she like is like, she'll get together with someone who's like A++ list. And then Plebby. She's so high-low, which
I love it.
Anyway, so you have no problems. I have no problems, but I'm sort of just like a bit suspect with like how she deals with breakups. I don't think she does.
I also think that in that A-Rod relationship, I don't think that there was any heat there. I mean, I think that it was, oh, look, on paper, we match, right? We're two moguls and we have kids that are around the same age and culturally we have so many similarities we can merge all these entrepreneurial things. But was there like heat? No. And I think it makes it like, do I think that she was, if I were to psychologize her, do I think that she was deeply in love, like the way that J-Lo has, you know, talked about being in love with A-Rod? Fuck no.
Right. Well, yeah, I know. You're right.
But and so that makes it easier to get over.
Oh, what I would do, can you imagine, like, Blue Sky if Jennifer Lopez just wanted to be on this podcast to talk about relationships?
I know.
I would, that would be the biggest dream come true. Because I feel like I'd like to know more. Well, you know what? I'd like to know more about that. I wish that people would ask her about that because she's either really shitty at relationships or she has, like relationship advice dialed in. Like, she's either, I would be curious to know what kind of friend she is when she's like that. When she's talking about boyfriends and ex-boyfriends, is she just like, yeah, yeah, go date that person that you dated 10 years ago. That's a good plan.
Well, I listen, I would love to have J-Lo on this podcast talk about anything.
That's true. That's true.
We could talk about her skin.
Yep.
We could talk about her dancing.
Yep.
We could talk about
fitness,
her career.
Everything.
We could talk about her business.
Yep.
We could talk about everything. And okay, then
that's
if she
never
wants to talk to us about it.
Right. That's never going to happen.
What happened to hope. You like from a couple months ago? Weren't you the one we were talking about on this podcast about manifesting?
That was not me. I secretly think about manifesting, but I sure as shit would not talk to you about manifesting. I know that. I have other friends to do that with. Definitely not you. That is for sure.
Why? Don't you think
no,
I would be someone
you don't
to
like
be-
to talk about stuff like that. I wish you were, but it would actually creep me out if I had to talk to you about, like, dreams and, like writing down feelings. Like, no way. Thank you.
Do you think she would be a good person to talk to about manifesting?
Anybody would be but you. Yes, of course. That shit has, like, she definitely has a dream board.
Okay. Should we get to the drama?
Yes.
Okay. So, hi, Sasha and Lainey. I have a big story for you. This does look like a long story, so dig in, everybody. All right. So my name is Sarissa. I'm 24. And my ex-best friend, Laura, also 24, we have not spoken now for almost 2 years. We became really good friends in university. We studied similar programs, shared many mutual friends, went traveling together, and we even lived together for a year. When we moved in together, I got my first serious boyfriend, Zach, and we became very close and fell in love quickly. I'm only mentioning this because I think it's important background. Because of my new relationship, I wasn't as wild anymore, and I spent a lot of nights with Zach instead of going out with Laura partying because I didn't need to. I felt like Laura was really annoyed that I became less fun right when we moved in together. She never said she didn't like Zach, but whenever he wasn't around, she would kind of talk shit about him. Nothing crazy, just sort of make fun of him in a strange way. And Zach never liked Laura, but she was my roommate and best friend, so he put up with her. Upon us moving out of the apartment together, Laura actually moved abroad a few weeks before our lease was over, so I was left to clean up the apartment and deal with getting our security deposit back from our landlord. I arranged for a professional cleaning team to come and do the move-out clean so I didn't have to do it all by myself. However, our landlords turned out to be super rude and aggressive on the move-out day, saying it wasn't clean enough and that we should have got the carpets professionally cleaned as well, even though that wasn't in our tenancy agreement. Zach ended up saving the day and going to the store to rent a carpet cleaner and spent the next 2 hours deep cleaning my room and Laura's. I called Laura later, really upset with how the situation went down, and explained to her that Zach was a huge help and paid for all the cleaning supplies. I said I wanted us to pay Zach for all the labor he provided and the supplies he rented. She agreed at first, but then later decided it wasn't fair for her to pay for anything. She also said her financial situation was tough, so she couldn't spare any extra money. This pissed me off because I wasn't asking for hundreds of dollars. I was only asking for her to cover the costs of what had to be done in order for us to get her deposit back. Her parents also paid for everything she had, so I didn't understand why she couldn't ask them for $50 if they already had been paying for her rent for the last year. She said I wasn't being respectful of her situation considering she just moved to a new country and was working a low-paying job. I get it. We're students. We don't have a lot of money. But this apartment was equally her responsibility, and she's required to hold up her end of the bargain. After some back and forth, she ended up sending Zach some money, but then requested that she and I take a break from our friendship. The break never ended. I was fine with that at the time because I was pretty annoyed and about how petty she was being and felt like she gaslit me by saying I was not understanding her financial hardships. I'm honestly pretty over our friendship as this incident was almost 2 years ago, but I just wish our friendship didn't end over something so stupid. I wish we could still be friendly, but I don't think I would ever want to be super close with her again. She's way too much drama and was always, quote, that toxic friend. At this point, is it something I should just continue to forget about, or should I extend the olive branch to try and make amends? She still loves abroad. She still lives abroad, but I know she comes home for holidays. Thanks in advance. Okay, so the question here is, should Sarissa reach out to Laura and see if they can make up as friends?
No.
What do you think?
No. No. Well, what's the friend's name again?
Laura.
Laura. I just don't think, like, yeah, she's, our writer's correct in terms of, like, it's kind of a bummer that it ended over, like, $50. Mm-hmm. But, and I wish I had more backstory, like I always do, because, like, why was she the toxic friend? What other toxic shit did she used to do? Like,
yeah.
I would love to have more intel on that. But, yeah, like, it sucks that $50 was the deal breaker, but it seems like, in fact, kind of the best way to get out of a friendship. Like, there didn't have to be some big fight about her toxic behavior. It was just like, oh, okay, fine. Like, we ended it on this. Like, it came to that. This was the straw that broke the camel's back, and that's where we are. Like, I would personally never revisit a friendship that felt toxic, that felt too dramatic, and that also, like, was slightly disrespectful, I feel like, towards her friend, and not, like, trying to, like, support her relationship and all that sort of stuff. To me, yawn fest. Like, congratulations that Laura is no longer in your life. That's how I feel about it.
I feel the same way, too. I'm just curious as to, like, out of one side of her mouth, Sarissa's like, I'm over it. I know this is a toxic friend. And then the other is like, I'm curious. Bothers me how I friend. Like, you know, how can you say those two statements don't match up to me?
No.
Like, you can't be like, this person is toxic. I really don't miss them. But hey, should I reach out? So something there, because those things are so incongruent, I'm curious what the intersection is. I don't think Sarissa has closure.
I think that's part of it. I think Sarissa doesn't have closure because Laura has the upper hand in this weird, like, way that they broke up, right? Laura was like, let's take a time out. And then Sarissa never got to be vocal about why she also wanted that fucking time out and might also not want to fucking come back to it, right? But she didn't get her chance to really be like, well, no, I want to end it with you, because it just kind of, like, evaporated. And that's probably fucking frustrating.
So this is about, like, petty bitterness.
Yes.
Like, you just want to have your say. You want to have, look, I think you're a bitch too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Totally. I think so.
You know, you suck more than me.
Totally. You were toxic. Right. You didn't like my boyfriend. Right. You didn't fucking want to pay $50. You left the fucking apartment dirty. Like, she didn't get to say her piece. And I think that's probably what's eating her up a bit.
I definitely think that's Sarissa, are we calling you here, or have we nailed it? Is this the thing? Because I've been there. Like, yeah.
Where have you been?
What have you been? No, sometimes it burns you inside. Like, you want to, even small things, right? Like, you know, if someone cuts you off in traffic, sometimes I'll spend the whole rest of the day daydreaming about what I would do if I wasn't so afraid of, like, being shot, if I drove up next to them and yelling at them.
Do you know what Corey does all the time? He gives the finger to everybody. And it's the weirdest thing. Like, I get it. Like, I've done it before, but he does it all the time. And I always say to him, like, we live in a neighborhood whereby we know some people. What would you do if, like, your boss or, like, Lainey or anybody was driving by and you were the one fucking so aggro giving the finger? He does it all the time. I actually think it's psychotic behavior. But anyway, I digress. Go on.
No, I mean, it's like, I don't give the finger, but there are things that bother me that
eats you
people
up
do
all day.
It eats me up all day. And then, so I spend the rest of the day fantasizing about, you know, what I would do to that person who cut me off or to whatever, right? So I get where, I think that Sarissa's issue might come from that same place. Obviously, it's deeper and more
Sarissa
profound.
Didn't get to give the finger. She didn't get to give the finger.
Yeah. You know, there are some times in life, Sarissa, where you're good. I mean, clearly it seems like you're doing okay. Mm-hmm. If this is what it's about, then understand that, you know, you're compelled by something. Petty is natural.
Yeah.
But neither one of us thinks that you should rekindle that.
No.
I will say, though, that although that is probably 99% of the reason why Sarissa wants to reconnect, I think there is also a 1% possibility of something else.
Which is?
So I was with Sarissa through all of this. Mm. The one part I didn't love,
okay,
is this part. And maybe it's the way that she worded it was, I said I wanted us to pay Zach for all the labor he provided and the supplies he rented. Supplies for the rental of the carpet cleaner, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
The labor? Real weird to me.
She's only asking really? For $50. So she actually also thought Zach's labor was worth like a penny because it's $49.99 to rent a fucking carpet cleaner.
But I want to know how that came out, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the thing. I know it amounted to $50, but I want to know how that came out in the conversation. Hey, Laura, so this is what happened. It was so shitty, but then Zach saved the day. He went to go and rent the thing. So I think we need to pay him back for the carpet cleaner. And also, like, you know, he put in like 5 hours of work.
Yeah, like, that's right? legit and in my mind.
I think that there's a time in your life, and they're in their 20s, where, you know, you fucking help each other move.
Yeah.
And it is like a really weird thing. That's why when we get old enough, we never help our friends move anymore because that just, that shit is just fucking stupid. I don't want to help.
Totally.
I love you, Sasha, but when you move, pay for your fucking own mover.
Right. Yes.
Right? But for anybody who's helped their friend move, imagine having that conversation. Usually, like, I guess in the old days, I don't know how you kids do it anymore. You help a friend move, then the friend who is moving treats everyone to pizza. And the pizza comes and you eat
and
around
happy.
The boxes.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy. Then does the friend go up to you and hit you up? Hey, so I spent 3 hours here and I'm clocking you at $20 an hour. So can I get $60?
Right.
It's fucked up. That's so fucking awkward.
But all she was asking was for $50 cumulative for rental and his labor. And I think really she threw in the labor as a passive aggressive dig, which was like, fuck you, bitch, you dirty ass. Ho, like you didn't fucking clean up your shit. And my boyfriend, who you fucking always like talk one side of your mouth is, was the one who fucking cleaned up your shit. Like,
yeah, I get it. Like, I get it.
I'm getting it coming across.
And I wonder we don't know how all these conversations went down.
No,
and I wonder over the last 2 years, Sarissa's been replaying all the conversations in her head, what was said to who and who said what back.
Yeah.
And whether or not there may have been a little, passive aggressive. Well, my boyfriend spent 5 hours helping us move. You know, his time is worth money too. And I wouldn't take that well. I would be like, that's your fucking boyfriend. You know, he loves you. That's why he was helping you.
Right.
Don't put a fucking price tag on that and send me an invoice. Are we doing accounting here over love?
But it was $50.
I understand, but like, $50 to them is a lot of money at 24 years old. Like, I mean,
no, at 24 years old, $50 is not a lot. Sorry, it's not.
Well, so these people are acting like it's a lot. So I'm gonna make it so that in their world, $50 is
okay,
a lot.
Okay, fine.
Anyway,
I get what you're saying. I'm sure it came across pissy, and that's why Laura was like, fuck you. Or like, let's take a break. I'm sure she Laura obviously has her own bag of dicks that she is like dragging with her around. So she has a point of view. She has like another side of the story. But my advice to Sarissa, I don't remember her name. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is to
her fake
just,
name.
Yeah. Move on and who cares? Bye, Laura.
Yes. Anyway. Yes. The point of the story, though, Sarissa, is, you know, we were just exploring why you felt this itch. So.
Right.
Let us know if we're right, but no, don't contact Laura anymore.
Yeah.
Get over it. Okay, next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Sash and Lainey. I'm in need of some advice and maybe validation around a situation with my boyfriend and his younger brother. For the purposes of the question, I'll refer to my boyfriend as Ben, his younger brother as Casey, and you can call me Jennifer.
There we go.
I've been with Ben for 2 years, and we've been living together since late 2020, December. Ever since I met Ben, his little brother Casey has been living with him. Casey is 10 years younger than Ben and in his late 20s. Ben and I had been talking about moving in together for about 6 months prior to me moving in with him, and one spot of contention, for me anyway, was Casey. Ben made it really clear that he was not comfortable with asking Casey to move out, and we agreed then that I would move in for a few months, and then we'd start looking for a home to buy together, and at the time, it would be a natural process for Casey to then be out on his own. I really struggled with this, and this is where the resentment started to grow and fester. I couldn't understand why Casey wasn't taking the hint and moving out on his own to give us space and move on to the next chapter in our lives. And I couldn't understand why Ben wasn't pushing him. This was messing with the vision I had with my partner for the first time, and it was incredibly frustrating. One night before I moved in, I pushed Ben on the issue a little bit more. I asked what the real issue was with Casey spreading his wings and moving on, as all adults do. I just couldn't understand why I had to be okay with this. This is when Ben broke down, literally in tears, and shared more about the family history. Ben and Casey have no living parents. They share the same mother, but she tragically passed away along with a sister about 5 years ago. There were addiction issues in the home, and with there being a 10-year-old and with there being a 10-year age gap, Ben did what was best for himself and left that home at 18. And he feels he abandoned Casey in an environment that was not good and likely contributed to a lot of his current shortfalls as a functioning adult. Ben feels a lot of guilt about that and immense responsibility for his brother's well-being. It's heartbreaking to see and hear. So the fear of feeling like he's casting Casey out and abandoning him is very real. So with this knowledge, I've sucked it up for the last 6 months and the three of us have been living together. Fast forward to present day, and I'm so excited that Ben and I have bought our first home together and we get the keys in a week. We are so excited. We can't wait. I can't wait to start a new chapter together and be alone. And I hate that Casey's situation is tainting the experience. Ben communicated with Casey early on that we'd be looking for a home in the spring, summer. He had a lot of warning and time. Fortunately, Casey is in a field that makes it easy for him to transfer offices, and he was able to secure a position in their home city about 2 hours away. Casey is not a doer, and Ben has often described him as someone who will do whatever is easiest for himself, like selfish as fuck. He won't get a COVID vaccine, for example.
What?
Okay.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Why wouldn't you get a COVID vaccine if you're someone who will do whatever is easiest for himself? Okay, anyway. Mm-hmm. With the news of the job lined up in good time, Ben and I felt really encouraged and happy that we didn't have to push Casey and nag him to get shit moving like we thought. Life was great for about 2 weeks, and I thought it was all working out. Casey even had a sublet lined up. Forward to this week, and Casey hasn't been very proactive and communicating with us the details of his move, which is annoying in itself. We're trying to plan here. Maybe you can help or act interested. We're constantly packing at this point and movers are lined up. When Ben checked in with Casey about his plans, Casey then shared that he was still waiting on a move-in date. The family friend of his who's subletting the apartment is moving to the States, but the pandemic has slowed every process down and there's no definite date in sight. It then slowly started to dawn on me. Casey will probably be moving with us to the new house, likely for maybe the first month, but because I don't trust his planning, it could be more. I am so resentful, frustrated, angry, and feel guilt for feeling these things. I'm trying to keep Ben in my mind's eye and remembering that by supporting Casey, I'm ultimately supporting Ben because this relationship is so important to him and his brother's well-being. But what about me? I've had to do a hell of a lot of compromising and being understanding and having Casey move into our new home with us, sharing a bathroom, being in our space when we've been trying. Okay, so we get it. Yeah. I'm just going to skip. And for what? All because this man-child can't think critically. Okay, we get it. Another factor, Casey is a selfish dick.
He has no emotional
intelligence. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so he doesn't make small talk. He didn't congratulate them when they got the house. He's in his late 20s, though. It really hurt. And he only cared about himself when he found out about the house. I recognize this resentment has been stewing ever since I moved in, and so I guess my question to you both is, how can I move on to this next chapter and manage this resentment? I often think this would be much easier if he and I were close in some way, but why should I be so understanding and patient with someone who has never thought of me or my feelings once? I'm really struggling here when I should be 100% focused on my exciting next chapter. Thanks for the time, and Jennifer. Okay, Jennifer. Got it. Jennifer right. needed to vent.
Yeah, she really did.
And I hear you, Jennifer. I would, yeah. So
yeah.
Okay, so Casey is like freeloading.
Yes.
And right. What do you call a couch surfer or whatever?
Sure. He's just kind of useless in this time in his life, which, and obviously Jennifer also feels empathy and sympathy for him, like I'm sure you and I do, Lainey, because dudes have been through some emotional trauma, and that is hard to sometimes pick your life up and deal with that sort of stuff. So he's like a lost puppy. What do you do with the lost puppy? You let them in. I know that's not what she wants to hear. And I feel I would probably fucking pull out all my hair as well, especially having to live with someone who doesn't want to even put in the energy to get to know me. But I feel like we're at the last fucking leg of this marathon, right? Like, yes. Does Jennifer want this to be different? Of course. Does she want to fucking like knock boots in her new home with her shitty boyfriend's brother next to her? No, I get that. But it's probably, he does have something lined up. And I think what you need to do with Casey, or I think what you need to tell your boyfriend or husband, what is he? I don't know what he is. Your partner, to let Casey know that there is like a lease up when it comes to staying with them. That he will give him 6 weeks. You can even be generous. So it's not even just a month. You have 6 weeks to get your shit sorted. You're allowed to stay with us, help us move into our new place. But after 6 weeks, I need you to make sure that you move to your next place. Like, I think there needs to be some concrete, like, here's
boundaries?
Here's your start and end date, the end.
Yeah. I'm not so confident that
Casey's going to get a shit together.
Right. Because I feel like I can see it where he, like, we saw it coming in this message, right? Like, we were so excited and he had lined up a place. It was all good. And then boom. Right.
Yeah.
And then, so they all move in and then one thing like is going to change and then it's going to turn into 2 months and then it's going to turn into 4 months and boom, it's 6 months. And then you're like, what the fuck?
Right.
So you're right. I do think that there's nothing they can do about it now.
No.
But there has to be a very clearly communicated plan.
Yes.
About timelines and boundaries. And I also think that, you know, what you can say, I'm not sure what conversations you've had with Ben, Jennifer, but I get like, of course, Ben's like, oh, I feel responsible. I feel guilty. Because in many ways, he's kind of like a brother parent.
Yeah.
And so if that's the mindset, how do you parent kids? Sometimes you have to let them fall. Like if you give them guardrails. Yeah. If you give them guardrails all the time, they'll never be able to stand up. And so in this situation, I wonder if you can, I'm not sure, Jennifer, what conversations you've had with Ben, but like encouraging his parent, that's why parenting is so fucking tough. Like I've, you know, this, I have no desire to do it, but I watch friends, I watch people, and you have to kind of like hold your breath and let them make their mistakes. And like, you know, and that's how people learn. And this, there's a difference between like the fact that you said that he's selfish. He's been through a lot of trauma, but she also saying he's selfish because he hasn't been asked to actually like
do
you
shit.
Know. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is actually good for his development, but you have to set those boundaries. And I would also like, you know, now that he's moving in and you guys bought a house, you have expenses. So some of the boundaries while he's living there can also be, hey,
smart.
So can we divide up the chores or
groceries
or heat or electricity or whatever? Can we divide up that payment?
Yeah.
Or like, I'm doing like, I know he's in his 20s, but we have to backtrack and like, this is a teenager now. And this is how you set structure for teenagers. I would do the same. And I think you're well within your rights because now you have a mortgage, girl.
Yeah.
And so if three people are living in the house, then I think it's totally fair for you to be like, hey, when you're living here, then can you chip in?
Yeah. And like, and I think Jennifer and Ben have to be on the same page, especially in this new chapter. Like they are going, they're like a team, right? So they have to start acting like one. And I think, as you said, like we don't know what Jennifer's talked to Ben about, but A, I think it would be worth it for him to listen to what you've just said, Lainey, because it's true. Like putting up some boundaries and, like, you know, stop being a helicopter brother parent and letting, you know, letting your brother fly and, like, let him go on his own. And then on top of that, I would probably, like, find some books for Ben. Like, there's got to be books about, like, kind of, like, codependency and, like, letting, like, your kid or your whatever, a loved one, like, as you said, like, grow and stumble and walk on his own. Because I think he needs some, I think he needs some guidance so that he can let go of his guilt. And I think what would be good for Jennifer is kind of to, like, when she's starting to talk to Ben about this, to kind of drop the whole, why me? Like, stop making it about you. And even though I get it, it should be about you and that fucking blows. But I just don't think that's your best angle when you're approaching Ben. It's like, how do we best set up Casey for, like, a positive life moving forward? I think we need him to, like, if he's going to be here for, like, the month or the 6 weeks, he needs an end date. He also needs to contribute into this household. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be an action plan. And that falls on Ben. It really does. And so I hope Jen is able to communicate that and, again, take herself kind of out of the equation, because it sounds really, really pissy the way that she's like, me, me, I want me. Even though I hear her, it's just not going to do her very good in that conversation.
For sure. I would center Casey in the, we're doing this for his own good.
Yeah.
And you get to benefit from it, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, center him and what's best for him. Because in the long run, it is, right?
100%.
If he is going to be an independent functioning adult, he's going to have to start being an independent functioning adult.
Yeah. Amen.
So, J-Lo, good luck. And here's our final question. So here's someone who really needs advice on this one. I don't want to turn to anyone I know or knows my boyfriend about this. Call me Mila, 26 years old, Canadian, living in a tropical country for the last 4.5 years. I traveled to another country when I was 21 and did not intend to stay that long, but I found the love of my life there. He's the most amazing person I have ever met. We are so similar, but yet so different that it makes the relationship super fun. We established over the years an amazing relationship with each other's families and friends. We travel a lot together, laugh, and plan on soon building a house in this country and talk about a future together since, and we've talked about a future together since day one, but it's been extremely complicated for me to live my life peacefully around his country requirements, living on a tourist visa. For example, I'm unable to obtain a credit card. I need to pay ridiculous travel insurance. I need to get out of the country every 60 days to renew my visa every year to get an international driver's license. I lost all my benefits in Canada. And on top of that, I work remotely, but I can't get paid on any of my Canadian bank account due to all these expat requirements. So my money is accumulating on PayPal and I can't really touch it, spend it, or live my day-to-day life with it. With COVID, it's even worse. I just went out of the country and they did not approve my visa for more than 30 days. So I need to go out of the country again very soon, not by choice, neither to a fun destination. I end up spending all my money on flights and this paperwork mess. I'm getting really frustrated because I know that marriage is the fastest and only way to get my resident status in this country. And it hurts my feelings that my boyfriend won't help me with that after happily living together for 4 years. It's super difficult to make future plans not knowing if I would need to go in and out of the country all the time. I feel it harder and harder for me to keep going like this. I want to be more established, be able to be a resident somewhere, but without putting the marriage pressure on him. If the situation was the other way around and he'd be living in Canada with me, I'd never let him go through that. For so long, I feel I have been doing everything to be there with him, and I know and feel he loves me with all his heart. We had the discussion a couple times, and he says he wants to wait for the perfect moment, but I'm getting discouraged and frustrated with all this. What would you do in that situation? I don't want to give him an ultimatum, but I can't advance in life like this. Thank you. Okay, Mila. I'm not sure where this is, but that sounds fucking complicated. Like, Mila has to leave the country, what, every 6 days, get a new driver's license. Mila can't really establish real roots to a real identity, really. Like, if you can't, not that credit cards are your identity, but it helps you build, like, a life and stability.
Totally.
And then with all your savings in PayPal, it means, the banks don't recognize you.
Totally.
And clearly she doesn't have roots in that way in Canada either. So it's very, it's a restless, and of course she feels unmoored. Mm. I really, really feel for Mila. Wow. That's fucking intense.
Yeah, that's intense. And it seems like it's getting more intense with all those COVID restrictions, like having to leave every 30 days. And like, she's somewhere tropical. So that sure shit is like at least a 6-hour plane ride to get back to Canada. Some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The very minimum. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This sounds like shit. So, I mean, I know that she says that she's talked to her boyfriend a couple of times, but like, I don't, I, and they've been together for
You're
4 years.
You're feeling what I'm feeling about this, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to say it?
No, you say it.
You say it.
No, you fucking say it.
Wow.
I don't want to always, because aggro. I'm always the one who's like, no, you're, he, that person's a dick. I'm always the dick person when it comes to this advice. You be the dick person.
Okay, Mila. Mila. I think that what you said it yourself. You go and read back your note to us.
Mm.
I couldn't, it, you said that if you, the situation was reversed, you wouldn't want to see him go through what you've been going through. Like,
who would?
I'm trying to picture, and I'm pretty spoiled in my marriage. Like, my dude does everything for him, for me.
Yes. Like, he's going to love hearing this too. I know I'm going to get a text being like, yeah, I totally do everything. She wouldn't survive without me. And it's true. It's true.
But I appreciate it, you know, and I couldn't watch him, like, you know, for him to see that you go to these lengths to be with him.
Yeah.
To leave, to deplete your savings, to have to.
But also, doesn't he miss her too? Like, isn't he like, oh my God, you have to leave again. This is so sad and hard, like, for our relationship.
She says, I feel he loves me, but I'm like, what's love? Tell me, what are the details? Mila, give me some details of how he loves you.
She did in the beginning. She did say that they, like, he's amazing and they laugh and they do the things and there are all the things.
That's having fun together. How does he love her? How does he show her he loves her? Like, their families get along? Great. I mean, to me, it sounds like he's so convenienced by her. He hasn't had to lift a love finger.
No.
And I'm not saying love has to be all sacrifice. I'm not saying that. But when she sacrifices all the time, every 60 days to be together, I want to know what his, like, match is. And I'm not saying love also has to be a ledger. Like, you know, I'm trying to, like, bat down all these
It kind of does, though. It kind of does. He needs to do some heavy lifting.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There has to be a meeting. It has to.
Yeah.
That's why relationships have to be equal. That's why equality is important in a relationship. To me, I'm looking at this relationship, Mila, and there is an imbalance. Like, I mean, an imbalance.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about that ledger, sometimes, as Sasha says, you know, you don't have to tit for tat all the time, but it can't be such a gross mismatch.
No, totally. Mila. I know. And I feel bad. And, like, I would just, if I, like, either Mila can, like, handle stress like nobody's business, or she's falling apart. Either way, the fact that he hasn't seen either of those sides, like, oh, babe, like, holy shit, you're doing a fucking, like, a lot of shit right now. Let me help you. Or, oh my God, you're in shambles because you have to fucking pack up your life every 60 days and peace out. And you have, like, no actual, like, tangible fucking money.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that hasn't, like, listen, I get that he doesn't maybe want to put a ring on it for that special moment, but fucking put a ring on it for that fucking visa. Like, the fact that he won't even do that as, like, an exchange of goodwill and of, like, having a history together for 4 years and caring about you and loving you. That's whack to me. But what are you telling Mila? Mila?
I just want to go back to, here's what I'm going to tell her. Do you know what, like, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is?
No. What
it's,
is that?
So it's that pyramid, right? Like, essentially it's a happiness theory, but it's essentially not happiness theory. It's a theory of, how do I explain it, Maslow's?
Google it.
It's a psychology concept, let's say. It's a psychology concept that essentially identifies what people need in order to be fulfilled.
Mm.
And so it's a pyramid. So right. at the bottom, foundation is like a certain set of conditions. Right. And then once you've met those, then you can go to the next level of fulfillment, right? And then the next and the next, right? It's very basic if you really think it out. But Maslow was the one who really like spelled it out. Anyway, so when I think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, at the bottom is safety, belonging.
Yeah.
We can't thrive.
We can't
thrive in other ways of life, finding happiness in our job and having friendships, traveling, whatever it is. If we have no basic sense of belonging and safety, we can't do anything else, right? Because we don't have a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Mila, I'm telling you right now that you might be in love and you might believe that this man loves you, but you can't truly be happy unless you belong somewhere. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you've told us you belong nowhere.
Oh my God, I want to literally set my heart on fire. That was very well done, Lainey. It's true. And that's so fucking
and
sad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And belonging doesn't have to be a physical space. Belonging can be a spiritual place, which a relationship, right? A friend group. But I can't say to you, it doesn't sound to me like you have belonging. You have a home in this relationship.
Yeah.
And so what is my advice to her is, if he's not going to marry you and get this settled, even though he's told you he loves you and you have said to each other you want to spend the rest of your lives together from day one, you fill in the rest.
Right.
Not you, Sasha, but
no,
Mila.
No, I know.
I'll leave it to Mila.
Yeah. Well, you're right. There are no roots. She's no one to lean on, you know? And you're right. There's no safety, right? There's nobody that you can be like, I am drowning in my debt and non-belongingness anywhere. Help me. Like you have your proverbial hand up and he's not fucking taking it. And that really blows. So yeah, I think you're right, Lainey. Like, I don't think we're in the place to say anything. I feel like you've delivered the facts to her pretty like heartfelt.
Yeah.
And Mila needs to like come to terms with that herself. Like that's the growth that she needs to do, because she's writing us flailing and she finds it, you know, it's you and I that she's asking for. You shouldn't be having this discussion with Lainey and I. You should be having this fucking discussion with your dude. And if he's not willing to help you, then like, as Lainey said, where's the foundation? There is none.
I also like, not to pile on, but that reason that she gave, I've talked to him about marriage a couple times. Here, let me see what exactly she said. I've talked to him about marriage a couple times. He said it wasn't the right time. Like, okay.
He wants a special moment.
He wants to wait for the perfect moment. So I get that. I mean, everybody has these fantasies, but I'm picturing you every 60 days
so
having
horrible.
To fucking put your passport in your backpack and get on a plane and be tired and unmoored once again and just have no anchor anywhere versus his fantasy of the perfect moment. And I'm like, the perfect romantic moment would be one of the days where you're getting on the plane and him saying to you, I don't know, in some cheesy romantic way, baby, you're not getting on that plane today. That not this time.
No,
that's
my God,
time
not
you're
then.
You're going to get to go on the plane.
You're
or whatever.
Let her pack her shit. Do it on the on one of the days she's fucking on land with him.
Do it on the day before. What are you doing? I'm packing. No, you're not. I have to. I have to go tomorrow. Otherwise,
oh
they'll kick me
Stop.
Out. They'll arrest
Why
me.
Why does everything Whatever. Have to be this? Okay. And then what? Then they kiss. And then?
But I'm just saying, right? Like his search for the perfect moment, again, imbalance. Balanced out with the shittiness of her having to go every 60 days. Like, dude, fuck your perfect moment. God.
Yeah.
And you're right, Mila, you can't force someone to marry you 100%. But if that is you floundering is what am I trying to say? If you floundering is the consequence or the alternative to you not forcing, quote, someone to marry you, then you are putting yourself second best, second class citizenship. And that's why, girl, you have no citizenship.
Oh, my God. The fact that you wrap that up in terms of a visa. Good for you.
Anyway, good luck, Mila.
Yeah. I mean, I would actually really like to be updated on this one. This one I'm actually I do really want to know what happens here.
I feel really bad, Mila. I'm so sorry. That was probably not what you were expecting.
Yes, she was. Do you think she likes fucking like, you know, repacking, packing? Like, she's basically like, why won't this man fucking step up and like engage me? Like, well, come on. She's coming at it from like a very normal place, which is like, what the fuck is going on? Well, Mila, you need to figure out what the fuck's going on, because shit is not functioning very well in this relationship.
Mila, we're sending you love.
Yeah. At least you have lots of air miles. That's worth something. I don't know. You're paying a bunch of fucking flights. Anyway, who cares?
I hope you do, Mila.
Yeah,
anyway,
keep us posted.
Mila, thank you. Thanks to the rest of you for listening. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Leave comments and reviews. We really appreciate it.
And keep your questions coming to me at Sasha@LaineyGossip.com.
Bye.
Bye.